Dr. Malachi Z. York have devoted his visit to this planet to the resurrection of the mentally dead, which he affectionately referred to it as mummy. Never did he know that the evil one had done such a great job with these people, both mentally and physically, as to have them hate self and kind. His greatest dilemma and hindrance has been the black devil, born amongst you and by you, married to you, socializing with you, praying in the same sacred houses of worship as you. But secretly, they have a spiritual pact with the devil, which makes it near impossible for them to total surrender to Nwapu. But for the few chosen from the many called, he sifts to find those beings that wish to become one with the Supreme in all. So he, the Supreme Grand Hierophant, Amun-Nebi Re-Akata, as known throughout the mystical schools, the incarnation of Tahuti, Thoth, student of the great tomb known as Atumre, the first point of resurrection from ignorance to the right knowledge, the right wisdom, and the right understanding. Dr. Malachi Z. York has blended in with each of the religions most interesting to his people. He has lived as one of them, practiced as one of them in order to reveal the misconceptions of these doctrines that have plagued and diseased the minds of his people. Among the Arabs of Al-Islam in the degree of Mohammedism, he was known as Sayyid Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, or simply Imam Isa. Being fluent in the many dialects as well as the classical Arabic language, he translated word for word without biasness in favor of the Islamic religion, the Quran, from Syriac Arabic into English. He sat beneath the great Shahuf as a student, one of which was Mahmud Muhammad Mahmud, and the great master, Karama Sheikh al-Husan of the Kalawatiya order of Sufis out of Sudan, as a Mahdiya or Ansar. As a Moorish American, under Noble Jew Ali as M. York L., he republished and revised the Holy Quran, Circle 7. Their connection with the NOI, Nation of Islam, known as the Black Muslims, encouraged him to do an in-depth study of the teachings of Master W. D. Ford, Allah in person, to his final messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He released several books explaining in depth their doctrine, which led him to another ex-member of the Nation of Islam called Clarence 13X, a self-styled Allah who founded the 5% Nation of Gods and Goddesses. Dr. York collected data and published the Problem Book, their interpretation of the English class lessons of the Nation of Islam. Amongst the Hebrew Israelites, while in the degree of Mosism, he was known as Rabboni Yahshua Bar El-Hadi. As a Hebrew, he was bar mitzvahed by the great Rabbi Matthews of Harlem. Through the school of Judaism, he translated the Torah and the Psalms from the ancient Hebrew into English. Amongst the Christians, in the degree of Christism, he was known as Reverend Malachi Z. York, or Dr. York, pastor and founder of the Egyptian Church of Christ, through the school of Christism. He translated and explained the Book of Revelation from Galilean Arabic and the ancient Greek. In this day and time, he received the new holy tablet, our own scripture that each day, as scientists, astronomers, and the like, uncover new evidence confirming that it was indeed divinely inspired, and is not merely a book, but a revelation, a holy scripture with prophecies of the future which are manifesting daily. Also, he translated the book of the coming forth by day, called the Egyptian Book of the Dead, from hieroglyphics as Amenuberu-Akata. He also released a series of books called Behind the Nine Ball and Bible Interpretations and Explanations. He felt it was his duty as the true reformer and savior to his people to make that which is unclear, clear. He have also revealed the doctrine of those called the Hebrew Israelites and the like with a series of books called 360 Questions to Ask and three volumes of over 1,000 pages, each entitled The Degree of Mosism, The Degree of Christism, and Degree of Mohammedism, covering any question that anyone could have pertaining to any of the three monotheistic religions. He has also traveled the rough and rugged path of Freemasonry and have arrived at the Imperial Grand Potentate internationally of the Ancient Arabic and Oriental Order, Nobles of the Mystic Shrine, New Mecca Temple, number 11. And IGP of AEO and NMS Al-Mahdi Temple, Northern and Southern Jurisdiction, the Worshipful Master of Nuwapian Grand Lodge, AF and AM, also Deputy Grand Master Pride of Georgia Grand Lodge, AF and AM, 33rd Scottish Rite Freemason of Amos Grand Lodge of Macon, Georgia. He entered the order of the Acacia under the most worshipful master, the illustrious Charles Tinsley, 33rd degree at King Solomon's Lodge, number 4 of Brooklyn, New York, the Grand Enoch Lodge in Brooklyn, New York, on Putnam and Nostrum Avenue. Prince Hall affiliated, and of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite Freemasonry, AF and AM jurisdiction of Georgia, called Zerubbabel, Grand Chapter, Royal Arch Mason, United States and Canada. His travels took him throughout the world, from sitting with the mystics and the monks, under the Tibetan master, Lama Mutkukuma of China, to the Grand Lodge in Cairo, Egypt, Northeast Africa, to being a member of the Rosicrucian Order since 1974, as well as Astara Mystic Order since 1975 AD, for more than 25 years. As the Supreme Grand Hierophant of the Ancient Egyptian Order, AEO, Mir No. 9, his family has been Freemasons for generations in Virginia's then Shriners Temple No. 122, Newport News, Virginia, and Daughters of Isis, then Court No. 98, Prince Hall affiliated. He stepped on to the White Lodge Freemasonry from the Black Egyptian mystery as Tahuti, Thoth, called Hermes, thrice times great, the possessor of the Master's Key, keeper of the secret word to become a Haru, Horus, a companion of the great Hierophant, I am Hotep, the scribe of the secret doctrine, conferrer of the 720 degrees in the secret number 9, and the guardian of the ninth gate, raising from the ninth chamber the secret, which will give you the power to realign yourselves. He was there, which is here, when the word, let there be light, was uttered. He has stood the test of time. He has been questioned by scholars and historians of all religions and denominations. Dr. Malachi Z. York is capable of answering the unanswered and solving the problems of the world. Yet, his personal interest is in each and every one of you. He says, I am not a holy man or a preacher. I am a master teacher. He have resurrected in the West the ancient fraternity, AEO, with healing in his wings, the spiritual order of our ancestors, the Egyptians, and your true bloodline under the reincarnation of Netir Amenubidu Akata, your Aferti, Pharaoh, for this day and time, Atumre. He have experienced all the religions and sacred orders, and now bring you the ancient Egyptian order, AEO, the true order of the Egyptians, that which gave birth to all others, and in this day and time has become the fastest growing movement for world peace of the new millennium. You have found your way to that which you have sought all your life. And now, I introduce to you the man of the hour, Dr. Malachi Z. York.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that He is alone and has no part And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Psalms 23:1. Can you translate this, Imam? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Can you give me this interpretation right here? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Wait a minute. I'm with you. First of all, let's establish who's talking. Right? Because this is what happens to Christians. They don't do that. This is David talking.
Right.
Now, why did David say this?
That's what I want to understand. I don't understand. Why did he say
You know why you don't understand? Huh?
No,
because
don't.
You're a good student. Now I'm going to show you how you're missing something. When I show it to you, you're going to go, oh, yeah, and I told you to do this. Go back one chapter. What's the chapter?
21? 22?
Yeah, 22 is usually before 23.
Right.
Yeah. What's the first line?
Oh, my God, why have thou forsaken?
My God, why have thou forsaken me? David is making a proclamation here that Christians say that Matthew 27:46 belongs exclusively to Jesus when he was on the cross. They say when Jesus got ready to die, if anybody turns their Bible to Matthew 27:46, where they say Jesus was on the cross, he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me, right? But a lot of Christians don't know that that was not Jesus' statement. That man on the cross was quoting David. Now look at Psalms 22 and ask the Christian to explain to us or you how Psalms 22, chapter 1, has the exact same statement as Matthew 27:46. Have somebody read Matthew 27:46.
At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Now, they say that's Jesus. Now, let's go back to the year 460 B.C.E. 460 years before the Christian era, not before Christ, to get to Matthew 27:26. And now we go to Psalms 22, when they say, this is the Psalm of David to the chief musician, right? Agilus, Shahar. These are names that this psalm was ascribed to. And David is saying, my God, why have thou forsaken me? David was crucified on the cross.
That's
you understand?
Yeah, that's what I told you.
Now, I just want to go on with you. I mean, if they need more, I mean, it tells you in this quote. You read this whole thing.
Right.
It'll tell you about them casting his lots, and it tells you in there that they bound his feet, they nailed him. It tells you in Psalm 22 that David was nailed on a cross, and they casted lots over his garments. And then 44 picks it up again, is it? And discusses it again. Now let's go to you what you want to know. Now that you understand what preceded it, right?
Right.
Now let's see what David says. He says, Arab. Or, the sustainer is my shepherd.
Right.
I shall not want. I have no needs. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's talking about heaven now. The Quran clearly speaks about the green pastures, and
right.
Beneath them are still waters flowing, right?
Right.
He restoreth my soul. Remember when Jesus was supposed to be on the cross, and he said, Father, it is over.
Right.
Under your hands I send my soul. At death you get your soul restored. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now he talks of his experience. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff do comfort me. The rod where I'll be chastised for what I have done wrong, and the staff where I will be guided for what I have done right. David knew he had did some great sins, and if you read the scripture, you'll find out. David was not, you know, what we call Muhammad, a perfect example. Okay?
Right.
Then he says, Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You follow that? He had, when he was there dying on the cross, when he was there suffering, the Lord still prepared Ma'idah, as they say about Jesus in the fifth chapter of the Quran, the table. He spread out the table for him. What else? Thou anointed my head with oil. You have made me a Messiah. Christians don't want to see that. They look in their Bible dictionary under the word Messiah or Christ. They'll find out it translates anointed. You have made me. You're anointed. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I have so many. Inna atinaka al-kawthar. so many bountiful blessings from you. My cup is running over, David says. Right? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And what did he say? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's talking about now he's going to die.
Right.
Goodness and mercy follow him all the days of his life. And now that he's going to die, he's going to spend that time in Jannah. You understand? But if people would only read the chapter before it,
right,
they'll see
right.
that it's talking about him dying on a cross. Okay?
Shikha.
Okay, now you got to keep attention now. You got a lot of work out there.
I want to know, are we the only planet cursed with the devil and demons?
No.
All right.
No. You're the only one where you have allowed the devil to incarnate through you physically as well as mentally and are still breeding their seed. See, if you go back in the books of Genesis, you'll find that in Genesis chapter 3, you'll find that when the serpent was being, you know, type mess up. You'll find out that when the devil and the woman were receiving their judgment in the third chapter and the 15th verse of Genesis, it says, I will put enmity between thee, talking to the devil, and the woman, talking about Eve. That's all who existed then, right? And then the next thing says, and between what?
Between that seed.
Your seed and
her seed.
Her seed. This woman was Eve. And we, as according to the Quran, are the descendants of Adam, made into many hues and colors and shapes and races, but we all came out of Adam and Hawa. And the devil has a seed also there, not just a spiritual, but a physical nesala seed. Now, man is doing everything that Abraham and all of them was told not to do in the same book of Genesis, not to mix their seed with the Canaanites, amongst whom they dwell.
So
Abraham says in 15, it tells us in 15:13, where our seed would be. Someone read it.
And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that that seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance.
And Genesis 24:3, read that.
And I will make thee swear by the sustainer, the creator of heaven and the creator of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell.
So, and this goes on. Abraham did it. Isaac did it. Told his sons not to marry him. Jacob told his sons not to marry him. And some of them intermarried anyway. This is the seed of Satan. People on earth are willfully breeding the seed of the devil on earth. If I on this planet. The answer to your question is, yes, other galaxies are plagued by what you call the devil. And he takes on many different forms according to the species of that galaxy.
So was Iblis was the first cast down, right?
To Earth.
To Earth.
You're only talking about the planet Earth. Because go ahead.
But others rebelled before him.
Definitely. If you read the book on Nabi Noah, the prophet Noah, I give a total explanation on that. The fall of the angels.
Okay.
And all the Suhuf covering.
I shook on his head.
If you read the 12th chapter of Revelations, the 7th verse, it talks about that fall. Read it.
Revelations 12, 7.
7.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Okay.
I'd just like to know where in the Holy Quran is the Mahdi described physically.
You will not see any place in the Holy Quran where the Mahdi, Muhammad Ahmed, is described physically. You will not see anywhere in the Holy Quran where the Prophet Muhammad is described physically. Allah doesn't take time out to do things like that. You will find in the writings of men about the Quran which Muslims refer to as the Hadith, where they describe Muhammad physically, and there is also an abundance of recognized Hadith or Sahih, where they describe the Mahdi. But you will not find a description of any of them in the Quran, none of the prophets.
Okay, can I have an example of where, because someone did ask me, because I spoke about the marks, and I would like to know where.
I did a whole book called The Call of the Mahdi. It's a little pamphlet. When you leave outside the door, tell them I said to give you a copy of The Call of the Mahdi and about the Ratib for free.
Thank you.
All right?
Salam. I would like to know how, first of all, Hebrew, right? You said the meaning of it is to cross over, right? How did it become a language?
That's a good question. Now watch. The people in England speak what?
English.
The people in France?
French.
You see that? Now, how about Cuneiform, the language? How come they're not calling the language of the Egyptians Egyptian? They call it hieroglyphics. You see that? How come they're not calling the language of the Babylonians Babylonian? They call it Cuneiform. The man-made languages are named after places. The original languages are named after incidents. I'll give you a perfect example. The word Arabic comes from the word Arab, to roam from place to place like a Bedouin. So people said those people who roam from place to place, they would be called Arabs, and they speak Arabic. Those people who crossed over the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, they were Hebrew or Ibra, so their language must be Hebrew. You see what happened? Hebrew is Arabic. It's the exact same language. And it should be called Adamic, really. It should be named after Adam. The name Arabic or Hebrew is really describing the people and something they did that's not really the name of a language. There is no name for a language, really. Think about what your question. There really is no name of a language at all. You understand what I mean?
So how all the languages in Africa, you know, there's a lot of, like...
Those are dialects. And they come about by, what's that thing you have around your neck?
Africa.
See? You didn't say a pendant or a necklace. You called it Africa. So you just added something new. It is the map of Africa. You're right. But you didn't say it is a pendant, you see, with the map of Africa. So now as people move off into the bush and they see new fruits, new vegetables, and they describe things different ways and how they go about doing things, eventually, after hundreds of years, this grafts into a dialect. And now if they're speaking a certain language that they got while in Babylon, by the time they get to Africa, generations after generations, the pronunciation gets weak. For instance, in the Nation of Islam, they used to get up and say, I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum. And all Americans now walk up to us and say, as-salamu alaykum. There's no such thing as as-salamu alaykum. It's as-salamu alaykum. But until you learn how to speak it properly, you will have the American dialect of Arabic. Y'all don't say, na'am. Y'all go, na'am. Y'all don't say, bismillah. Y'all go, bismillah. Eventually, if you train your children, they can perfect the pronunciation. But most of you people, you don't say Muhammad, you say Muhammad and Abdullah. You understand what I'm saying? And Islam. These are natural dialects. Eventually, if you spoke fluent Arabic, you'd have an American dialect of Arabic that an Arab would have a difficult time understanding. Y'all could be rattling on back and forth and everybody understand you. Just like a brother comes from the mountains of Jamaica and has been living up in the mountains of his life and comes to New York and goes to Georgia. Or, I mean, better go, comes to American, goes down to Georgia, Alabama, and starts talking to them. To them, they might think, brother, is speaking another whole language. Now, to him, they're speaking with this country drawl, with y'alls and down the road of peace. And to far as he's concerned, they're speaking another language because the environment produced dialects out of the same language. That's all you're talking about. So Arabic and Hebrew are nothing but dialects of Syriac, the ancient language. And that Syriac was named after the place, Ashur, or Syria. where Abraham lived. Okay?
Son.
Good afternoon again, Imam. I don't know. My name is Randy George, and I want to know what name I should take as an in Arabic. What should I call myself? Or what can I call myself to make the, you know, my name?
I understand what you're saying. I'm just looking at you. I understand what you're saying. I'm just looking at you.
Yeah, because here I am speaking English. Yet, if I believe in what I'm being taught, I have to know at least why I'm being taught this. Since I have to, in a sense, be reconverted myself to Islam.
And you have to re-study and relearn.
Yes, I understand that.
Your name is Idris.
Idris. it sounds like English to me, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's Arabic. It's mm-hmm. Idris, and it comes from the word Darrasa. One who studies and has to learn about himself.
I quite understand you now, much, much better.
So
thank you.
His name is Idris Abdullah Muhammad.
I understand you, much, much better.
Okay.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. I came to class a few weeks ago, about 4 weeks ago probably, and I asked a question concerning the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 3. And it says, Allah came from Timan, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Sila. And I was questioning, what do they mean by, you know, they say God, but we know Allah. I was wondering what they mean by Allah came from Timan. I had a confrontation with one of Farrakhan's followers over this.
All right, this is a book revealed in Judea in 628, right? Timan, when they speak about this, they're speaking about the same thing we teach in Islam when we say that Muhammad is the comforter and that is the Holy Ghost. You follow that?
No.
They would say that if you came from, let's say, Mecca to an infidel country, and you brought Allah's teachings, that's the same, this is a Hebrew expression, that they're saying God came from Timan, and the Holy One here is the Prophet Muhammad, and they use Mount Paran. If you do a research on Paran, it's the word Faran, and Faran is Mecca, that's the ancient name of the city of Mecca. And they tell you right there that he is the Sila, which they said the scepter would be passed into his hands when Jacob made the covenant about the comforter. And they speak about Muhammad as a comforter. They say that he is, in St. John, they say the comforter who is the Holy Spirit. You see, so he had the spirit of Allah moving in him the same way Allah says he put his spirit into Jesus. So in this sense of God does not mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means Muhammad came out of Mecca with the word of Allah. If Allah, he was the Holy One, he was the Sila, or the one, the Shiloh, the one the scepter would be passed into. That's all it's talking about.
So when they speak of God in here, they're actually talking about Prophet Muhammad?
No, they're talking about the message he brought.
No.
God came from Timur and the Holy One. See, God, Muhammad brought the message of Allah.
No, because is there some way I could assimilate that to the brother, like when Donald Elijah Muhammad says that Allah came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad? Would it
yes.
be?
I don't have no argument with that. I don't argue. Me and Minister Louis Farrakhan get along quite well. I don't argue with them saying that Allah came, listen to this close, Allah came into the personage of Master Farad Muhammad. That don't bother me, because I understand what they're saying. If they tell me that Master Farad Muhammad is Allah who created the heavens and the earth, then I'll laugh. Because then I'll ask them, what was he standing on? Because he's a man. You understand what I'm trying to say?
No.
But if they say he came into the personage of Master Farad Muhammad, I don't doubt that a man can be inspired by the spirit of Allah to do a great work in America. And thus you say that Allah came into the personage of Master Farad Muhammad. Allah came into the personage of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Allah came into the personage of Rasulullah Muhammad. Allah came into the person of Jesus and made him his Messiah. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
I have no problems with it. That's why if you read that Article 12 on the back of Muhammad's speech, it's under Article 12, read it close, you see that he says also the Messiah of the Christians and the Mahdi of the Muslims. So he knew that Allah Muhammad knew that Allah, Messiah, and Mahdi was not the same. He was saying, according to what the Christians was looking for, this is him. According to what the Muslims in the East are looking for, this is him. This man is the supreme being. And then in his book, Message to the Black Man, he breaks down what he means by a supreme being. He says a being is a mortal thing. And he gives a full chapter on the meaning of God as a spirit and God as a man. And he says that he's real, he breathes, he has hands, he's so-and-so, and so-and-so. So he's defining Master Farah Muhammad as a human being who has been inspired by the spirit of Allah, and that he was the wisest man in his time. He says what a supreme being is the wisest man in his time. All men are God, he said. Or that's what he says. Who are you, the Asiatic black man, maker, owner, cream of the planet, father of civilization, and God of the universe? So he said that all black men are God because we all have the spirit of the Most High in us. And he says that by saying God of the universe. That's how you know he's saying the spirit of Allah is in us, because you're on earth, you're not in the universe presently. So the spirit must be working from the universe in through you. So Allah was very clear. It's people after him who misinterpreted their teachings because they wanted to make him look like he was a blasphemer. They wanted to make him look like he was an idol worshiper, because the pale Arabs brainwash them into trying to destroy another great black leader. That's the key. Don't let the black man in America have any black leaders that they can refer to. So every time we get a black leader, we get Elhaj Malik Shabazz, they say he turned against Elijah Muhammad, he banned him, and everybody stopped liking him. Noble Drew Ali, they got him down. Marcus Garvey, they got him down. Every leader. Now look at poor Jesse Jackson. He was on his way up there, and they made him Tom out. You know what I'm saying? Now, if we was to invent our money, whose picture would we put on it? Tubman? And we would have our money. See, the white man got his money. And on his money, he puts his great leaders, right? Look in your pocket. If you don't believe me, take out any money and see. So if we was ever to become an independent nation and had our money, whose picture would we put on it?
Nobody.
Nobody. Because the white man manages, after each one of our great leaders, by the time they leave, he always defames them. Oh, Elijah Muhammad had sex with all his secretaries. You know what I mean? Jimmy Swagger had sex with a prostitute. And he's still preaching. See, the white man has a way of defaming us and stripping us of our leadership. Because without a direction to lead the children, there's no hierarchy. There's an inferiority complex being constantly drilled into our kids. They are under white teachers and white presidents and white kings, and everybody in history was white, and angel food caters white, and devil food caters black, and devil dogs are black, and et cetera, and et cetera. Bad guy wears a black suit, good guy wears a white suit. You know what I mean? And the white man is trying again to destroy the image of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we won't have any black men that ever did anything great that didn't do it in his name. And see, that's the key. If they do it like him, if they're Uncle Tom, and they do it the way the white man says, then they want us to idolize them. But if he's someone who did not do it, he did not rub the white man's fur the right way, then he destroyed his image before he's out of office, and he turned us against him, and then we'll take down the messenger's picture. You should teach your children about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and put the picture up in your house and say, that is one of your great black leaders, one of the founding fathers of Islam in America. You understand what I'm saying? And he did this, because you can't find a black man, Marcus Garvey, Noble Drew Ali, or any of the knuckleheads out there today that can match what that man did in America. I mean, and especially during the time that he came to do it in. Am I right?
You're right.
Think of when he came, when the Klan was hanging black people. Nowadays, after the 60s, we can tell a white man, better bug out. You know what I'm saying? We can change. We got a new attitude. Back then, black people couldn't do that. They get killed right on the street, and nobody would say nothing. So the messenger, as he's called by his fathers, had a very serious job to do. You understand what I'm saying? Don't let the white man pull this old, that jive stuff on us and pull down another great black man, and then we hide our leaders, and he keeps putting new pictures on the dollar bills. The so-called Jew traveled all over the world trying to find men that were responsible for what they call the Holocaust, right? Am I right? Yes or no?
That's right.
They chased these men down 60, 70 years old and try to hang a 70-year-old man. Or hang him to death. Correct?
Correct. Eichmann. One of them.
But who's chasing down the men that flew the planes and gave the order to bomb Hiroshima and kill millions and millions and millions of the Japanese? How come they're not being tried for war crimes? Because that was still war.
Right.
And they went over there and dropped bombs. You understand? And flattened people, melted buildings, killed dogs, pets, babies, everything.
But they got awards in America. They got a button pinned on them and said they did something great by killing millions of Japanese people. That was an award. But the so-called German Jew is hunting these people around for the same war period and hanging men 60 and 70 years old. Old man, he's going to die in a week anyway. They want to keep him alive long enough so that they can kill him. And you don't see that that is a treacherous, low-life nature? When you take an 80-year-old man and hang him, he's going to be dead in a week anyway. You go, they put him, they took one of them German Jews, they took him and put him in the hospital and kept him alive so they could hang him. The man was dying from heart trouble, and they kept him alive just so they can hang him. That is sick. That is really sick. You understand me?
I do.
That's a dangerous mentality. Don't let them pull that stuff. Don't try to get conflicts going between what me and Minister Farrakhan believe.
Oh, definitely not.
We got to get our heads together. You know why? Because all we got is us.
I constantly try to keep in touch. I know two brothers from the temple, and we've had meetings and conversations. And
don't get into conversations. You know why? Because neither one of y'all are equipped to solve the problem. You're too young in the doctrine yet to really understand what's happening. And y'all can end up enemies because you want to be right, because you know how we are. We love to be right. We'll be right when we know we're wrong. Stand there, walk away, I know I'm right. I know I was right anyway. Know you're wrong. Black people love to be right. And it's not worth it at this day and time. The bottom line is, Minister Louis Farrakhan is trying to gather black people in America to get ready for whatever is going to come down on us. We better be ready for it. And we're going to need each other. Regardless of the differences in our doctrine, we need each other. And I realize that, and he realizes that. And we're trying to get them Sunni Muslim brothers to realize that them brothers in Saudi Arabia and Islam are not the least concerned. And as long as these Sunni Muslim leaders keep letting these Saudi Arabians pay their rent, they can dictate what they teach their children. They can't even get mad, because I was at a meeting, and they're so knuckleheads that they didn't even know I was sitting there. They hate me so much that I was sitting in the meeting and they didn't even know I was there. That's how dumb they are. And you know what I heard the Arabs tell Siraj while I was in the meeting?
What?
You can't give the khutbah because you don't know enough Arabic for the pomp they had for the last Ramadan that they had. They told him, you're an imam for the Americans, but you're not qualified to give a khutbah because you don't know enough Arabic. Then they leaned over and started talking to each other in Arabic. You know what they said? These American Negroes are really funny. This they're saying in Arabic right in the mosque. This Palestinian imam up on Masjid Faruqi, they call him. We're sitting up there, I'm sitting up there looking at them, and they're like, the Palestinians are saying this is a Sudanese, so I'm all right with them. But the Sunnis who hate me, who look at my picture in a million books, sitting there looking right at me and couldn't see me.
Damn, hate blinded them.
I mean, they really must dislike me, and I love the heck out of them. Because I'm the only one standing up and saying, Arabs and everybody who don't care about black people in America, if you don't care about my people, if you care about us, spend some of those millions of dollars building universities teaching our children Arabic instead of buying yachts for your daughters. The way the white man throws up a building in Bedford-Stuyvesant in 1 year, you understand, they be throwing up houses, they call it low-income housing. If the Arabs really cared about the Sunni Muslims, he would take Bedford Avenue where they got all their mosques, but one mosque on Bedford Avenue. And that's the African Islamic Mission, Masjid Jamia, because they're part of us, the people you see in the green and the gold. All the rest of them guys up and down there ain't got a dime, all together. You think the men would get together and put their money together so they can provide some food, clothes, and shelter for their women? No. You got sisters living in shelters. Brothers marrying sisters, not giving them their dowry and then divorcing them. And they have the nerve to call us Catholics and say we ain't Muslims. They ain't living none of the Islamic tenets of the Sunnah. We're talking about Ansar. They racist. We're racist, but one thing is for sure, our children are eating every night. Our women have roofs over their heads. Our shoes ain't ran down. We're paying our bills. No, we don't owe nobody anything. The white man can't do nothing for us because we don't rent. We own. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's building a nation. And that's something we picked up by listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because if I would have listened to them orthodox Sunni Muslims that I used to sit up under in State Street, I'd be doing the same thing they're doing on Eastern Parkway, starving to death. But I listened, and let me listen to this man here, Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He knows what he's talking about. Let me listen to him about do something for yourself. And we and Saul started doing it for ourselves, and this day we're able to say, see what we got? In the name of Allah, Arabs ain't give us one dime, and they've tried. They call me to meetings. You know what I tell them? Bug off. Literally.
Imam Issa, we'd like for you to come to Saudi Arabia. We're having a meeting of imams. I said, is any American going to be there? Yes. Is Wallace D. Muhammad going to be there? Yeah. Is he an imam? Yes. Then I don't belong there, because if that's what you classify an imam, I don't belong there. If Siraj Wahaj, you can't even speak Arabic as an imam, I don't belong there. They didn't learn 4 surahs from some Pakistani book, now they're imams of the Quran. I don't want to be around these kind of people, because I don't want to have to say I agree with them and then change my educational program to theirs and then my kids stop learning Arabic. Because if I comply with them, I'm going to have to agree with all their programs. And their programs are showing me that their kids ain't studying nothing. So what am I going to do? Make my children stop learning Quran because they don't want to pay their bills? I can't do that. Don't let these people divide us. Spend time trying to tell the Sunni Muslims, don't like us. Get your program together. We better start working together. You ain't got to listen to me. And I won't listen to you. Let's listen to the Quran. Let's make a point that whenever we get into the argument, it must be in the Quran, not in the Hadith. Because that gets into arguments. Let's go to the Quran. And if you don't want to touch the Quran, then I don't even want to talk to you. If you're going to bring me a whole bunch of books by men, and I'm telling you to read the Kitab Allah, and you talk about Hadith, I say Kitab Allah, but in the Hadith, Kitab Allah, but in the Hadith, then there's something wrong with you. You understand? But you people better get your leaders back up and talk about them. Talk about Marcus Garvey and everything I'm writing these books for. So y'all can go out there and say, Marcus Garvey did this, and Nobu Jawali, Marcus Garvey was a Muslim, and Nobu Jawali was a Muslim. And they killed Dr. Martin Luther King because he went to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad converted him. His last meeting with Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he came back and said, I had a dream. I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen it. Why, he said, what is he talking about? You look at the last tape, you see everybody standing around him dressed in white.
That's right.
They ain't standing around no suit and ties. They stand around dressed in white with targeters on their heads. Don't look like no Christians to me standing there. Look like a bunch of Ansar standing around Dr. Martin Luther King. The white man said, he been to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he got millions of followers. Kill him. Forget civil rights and peace marches and all other beautiful things that Dr. Martin Luther King was standing for, because he stood for a lot of beautiful things, but he meant well. He had a good heart. When he said everybody can sit together, that's a beautiful thought. White man don't feel like that, but it's a beautiful thought that everybody on earth can become one family and stop killing and taking from each other. But if you think the United States is going to agree with that and then give half its revenue to India so they can starve, you're crazy. If you think they're going to share the wealth of America with people in Ethiopia, you're crazy. He's not going to go back to eating hamburgers from steak so some Ethiopians can have food on their table. He don't do that. He just give them some grain. And if he's interested in helping the people, he wouldn't give them grain. What would he do? He would cultivate the land over there and show them how to grow their own food. But if I keep giving you grain, that means you got to keep depending on me. He knows what he's doing. You know why? Because he's a devil, weak and wicked. And his trials and tribulations are to destroy the sons of Allah, you. That's all he stands for, is destruction of everybody else on this planet. You understand? So don't let them do that to you. When you and the Brother of the Nations, I'm talking, say, wait, we are not going to argue this time. We're going to hold hands, and we're going to walk together. You understand? So people will see the unity in us. We're not going to fight anymore. And if you have a difference in opinion, let's do everything in our power to avoid that, so I can meet you on Salam Alaikum, Wa Alaikum Salam. And I can leave you, and we pray together, and we'll talk together about Quran and read it, but no debate on who God is and what you think God is, because none of y'all know what you're talking about. The bottom line. And Minister Farrakhan has a mission he's on in the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I got to learn to respect that. Because me and him going to need each other when the white man comes down. He ain't going to say, these are the Ansars, so don't hit them. Only hit the ones that are, and if you sisters and brothers in there with that Negro mentality think that the white man ain't going to hit you upside your head because you ain't a Muslim, you got another thing coming. The white man ain't into that stuff. He sees us as just a little more fanatical than you. He going to hit you upside your Jerry curls too. He going to slap them false eyelashes off you. You can try to look white and try to be Christian. When the white man started spraying down south, you know what he was telling them? Them brothers told him, all we want to do is cross this bridge to go to the church to pray down south. You know what them crackers told him? You ain't praying to my God. My God wouldn't recognize your prayer. This really took place down there in Alabama. Literally, it's on tape. That's how them crackers see you. So you were born again Christian and you worship Jesus, and that cracker would take that stick and whip your head without a second thought. We better get together, we better get organized, and we better start doing things for ourselves. We better start respecting each other for what we are. Stop badgering each other and trying to find faults with each other and always trying to destroy each other. We better get them silly frowns off your face. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Somebody cares about you. You survived slavery, Junior. Somebody cares about you upstairs. After all you've been through, you still can spell your name. Black people should be walking around grinning, rejoicing, and being exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Because all the prophets before you were also persecuted for righteous name's sake. Y'all should be happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has found way to give you Noble Jali, Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sheikh Daoud. I mean, so many leaders that have come to try to uplift this nation. Us. You understand what I mean? Are y'all with me?
No.
We should be happy he cared that much about us. Let me give you a little inclination. The white man was stuffing pork in you, right? And Allah had us eating watermelon. The white man used to make fun out of black people eating watermelon. Now he found out that watermelon flushes the stomach. So while the devil was forcing us to eat that filthy pig, Allah had a joke being made about us eating watermelon. The watermelon was keeping us from getting our systems destroyed. So that this day, when the light came, our dome can handle it. Because you look at some brothers from years ago, and you try to hold a conversation with them, and they're gone, mentally gone. They can't even hold a straight conversation. You ought to be happy that you're intelligent enough to still learn, to make decisions for yourself, and stop giving yourself over to him. Throw Jerry out your house. Stop trying to look white. Look at Oprah Winfrey. Look at her. I mean, come on. Who's she for? How's she going to talk black stamp there trying to look white? Be yourself. Y'all are the most beautiful people in the world. If you wasn't, everybody wouldn't be trying to look like me and you. Here we are trying to put white powder on our face, and white people are laying on the beach trying to get back. Here we are straightening our hair, and they're getting their hair curled. White kids want an afro so bad, they don't know what to do with themselves. I've seen white people in Jamaica trying to wear dreads. They look like a dead poodle's on their head. Looks matted. They want dreads. They want anything. They want color. They want lips now. They're getting shots in their lips so that they can have lips. Years ago, they were making fun of our big lips and our bulging eyes. Now they got eyeshadow and eyeliner and to make their eyes look bigger and silicone shots to make their lips look bigger. Yet they say they hate the Africans and how we are so ugly. Everybody in the world know we the most beautiful people in the world. They know garden got this many different shades of colors of flowers in it. A white person is a white person. He looks, the only thing you can liken him to is an uncooked sausage. That's the only thing. And I heard Brother Malcolm say that black is the only color that can produce every other color, and white can't produce no color. It's the absence of color. And the absence of color means the absence of mood, because colors create moods. That's why they can't dance. Because with the absence of mood, there's an absence of soul. With the absence of soul, there's an absence of rhythm. With the absence of rhythm, there's an absence of coordination. Go to Africa, they be playing three different drums with three different hands, patting their foot, moving four limbs at the same time. White people say, wow, they're colorful people. We got a whole lot in the name of Allah to be proud of as a people. We may not have much money, but we'll sit on our stoop, take an oatmeal can, turn it upside down, and bungo away. We can be suffering, but we'll find something to laugh about. You understand what I'm saying? We are great people. We have a very good spirit. We have good karma, as they say. And all the stuff we've been through, we are good people. And you know what's so bad? All the stuff the white man did to us, we still like him. And don't try to tell me you don't. Because it ain't in you to dislike people, because you are just like your heavenly father. A white woman will fall down in front of you and you'll feel sorry for her. And so would I. Because it just ain't in us to be as hateful as we pretend to be. If you see an old white woman, you stop shaking your head back, that's for you. If you see an old white woman fall down and hurt herself on the street, you'd care. Don't tell me you wouldn't care. Now you sit there and tell me if you saw this old woman fall, you wouldn't care. Not even a little bit. You know it's in you because you got the presence of God in you. With all they've done, they've kicked us, spat on us, hang us, raped us, killed us. He emasculated us. He did everything to us. And still, black people come to that mic and say, well, if a white person asked to move in, would you let them? They do. They still come and say, if they asked, would you let them? You know why? Because we are a merciful people. That's why. We are a merciful people. We are created like our Creator. And that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was trying to say. when he said that we all are the sons of God. We are God. That's what he was trying to say. He was not trying to say we are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He know you didn't create nothing. And the Quran said if you think you can, let's say you create one little gnat. Only thing Negroes created a lot of disturbances. He knew that. He couldn't have been as intelligent as he was to raise a dead nation to such a powerful people and be as ignorant to one little fact that he is not Muhammad, the prophet of Arabia. He knew he wasn't. And don't let the devils turn you against them so they can take another picture down. Take another man out of our history. You understand what I mean? And I'm telling you again, don't be ashamed to be compassionate. It's a wonderful gift. I'm not teaching you to hate white people. I'm teaching you to know his capabilities. And if I was to teach you about lions, I can say, listen, don't hate a lion, but don't go in his cage. Now, you can say, why not? And then go stagger into his cage, and then I won't have to explain it to the next person. I'll say, see that? That guy didn't listen to me. He went in the cage, and now he's dipped. Don't go in the cage, because that lion will make you out of pudding. You see this pudding? See you? And the third brother goes in there, then you start saying, let's just open the cage, because niggas are stupid. Now, I'm saying this. Don't hate white people. Hate is a sin. Do you understand that? For you to hate anybody is a sin. To hate somebody makes you wicked inside. Don't hate him. And if you start treating him the way he treats you, guess what you're going to become? You'll be the devil. If you start doing devilishment. Knowing the dangers of a thing does not mean you're supposed to hate it. Knowing the dangers of a thing means you're supposed to know how to handle it. Do you understand?
No.
And of course, they say, I'm a hate teacher. The same way they say the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is a hate teacher. And we both say, we don't teach hate, we teach the truth. And if you hate what I'm saying, that's just too bad. Because until I can have an effect on the textbooks in the world and what's being taught to my children, I'm going to teach them about black greatness. If me teaching them black greatness is hate, then that's too bad. But I'm not going to teach them that whites are better than us because some Sunni Muslim comes from Saudi Arabia and says so. It doesn't impress me. It doesn't impress me in the least. You understand what I mean?
No.
Are y'all with me?
No.
Okay.
Shaquan Desilniwam, I'd just like to know if you have in the new Book of Lamb the same things you had in the Message of the Messengers, right and exact, when it talks about the breakdown of lessons. Basically, degree for degree, and will you mention also the exact date that the Honorable Elijah passed?
Message of the Messengers, right in the Zach, the Book of the Lamb, is basically the same book with more facts in it.
Right.
Certain elders of the Nation of Islam, who are residing here now with us, who were members close to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, said that whoever gave us 1970, which I never told them, no one gave me 1970, right?
Right.
Elijah Muhammad said, and I have it on tape, a videotape, that 1970 is the second resurrection. You follow that? It's on videotape. He said, if you want to see it, the brother downstairs can hook the video up before y'all leave, and he can put that segment on. All right? And y'all can see him say it. He'll say, the man, Lomax, is going to say, are you saying that the year 1970 or around that time is the second resurrection? I'm going to say, yes, 1970 is the time of the second resurrection. He's going to say himself. You're going to see him on tape, okay? Tell the brother I said to start hooking it up.
No, I'm sure.
All right, that's step one. And what happened is they said, no, it was not. I said the day he was born, and I left blank, if you notice in all the books, when he died. And I said, I'm not going to assume I know until I know, for sure.
Right.
But I know that he said there'd be a second resurrection, so in certain places I mentioned 1970 because he said it.
Right.
You understand? But he obviously didn't mean that he would die. He meant it like John the Baptist and Jesus, that he'd still be alive for a couple of years when that new leader's head. You see? You see what I'm saying? And that's what they, I said, I see what you mean. So when was it? They said 1973 is when he died. And it's recorded for 1975. So that's in the book.
Chicago,
right? And
yeah.
The lessons, yes, they're. Plus, I'm writing a book called The 5% Lessons. And it has all the 1 to 20, 1 to 14, 1 to 36, all of them in there, and all the lessons of pre-mathematics, actual facts, all of that's inside it. If I get a chance to finish it. Got so many, but y'all trying to get me to write everything.
I just have one more question. I'd like to know, is it true that Malcolm X wrote the 12 Jewels of Islam?
No, it's true that Malcolm X wrote the supreme alphabet and mathematics. Like, you know, one is a law and two is what? I mean, one is knowledge, two is wisdom, three is understanding. Four is justice. Oh. Five is power, etc. Six is equality. You know that. A is Allah, B is born, C is to see. He wrote that while incarcerated. Yes.
Right.
But the actual fact is from the Lost Found English class lesson.
No.
He didn't write
that. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We will continue with the man of the hour, Dr. Malachi Z. York, the reformer for this day and time, right after these messages on WGAG Radio.
All Eyes on Egypt presents the Holy Tablet, backed by popular demand. Written and transcribed by Dr. Malachi Zodok Yokel, the receiver. This is the scripture that is divinely inspired that will bring about a long overdue change. Like the phoenix bird rising up out of its ashes. Up, you mighty people, come forth like Lazarus from the tomb. This tablet is food to feed the hunger and to nourish the soul, to give it strength. Rise up, stand up, be counted amongst the people of this world. Be the first to get your copy of the Holy Tablets while supplies last. At All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia, 706-468-2319.
Tune in to the El Holy Tablet Show every Friday and Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Look at the air. Look at the hand.
People always debated, who's the greatest player of all time? Dumb question. It should be, who's the greatest team of all time?
WGAG Radio.
Sorry, Showtime.
WGAG Radio.
Back to back.
WGAG Radio.
First three-peat.
WGAG Radio.
Even with the flu.
WGAG Radio.
No push-off.
WGAG Radio.
And my favorite.
Radio.
Tough to beat that. What? You think there's someone else? Prove it.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth. Woo! Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
This is Matruna Firu. I'm calling in from Toledo, Ohio, and I want to give WGAG Radio 7-year happy anniversary. This is Empress Ross calling in from Reno, Nevada, and I would like to wish WGAG Radio a happy 7-year anniversary.
This is Dean Meeker calling from Chicago, Illinois. I want to wish WGAG Radio a happy 7 years and many more.
I'm a prestige bitch with a dirty mouth.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
I done came up out of that goddamn life, bitch. I'm trying to show you some shit, but you keep rattling with the fucking name.
Hey, this is James Brown calling from the nation's capital, wishing WGAG Radio happy 7 years, and I wish you more.
This is Peace and Blessings saying happy 7th anniversary to WGAG Radio, calling from North Cross, Georgia. It wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for the baddest black, brilliant, big booty, baddest chick in the world, Don Dakota. Yo,
nobody can do it like you, baby.
We ghetto? Yes, I will accept the word ghetto. Ghetto, G-E-T-T-O, get who fucking stepping.
Love, calling from Remington, Washington to wish WGAG a happy 7th birthday. Peace, love, and prosperity, and much growth.
Yeah, this is Jay Iller calling from the great Lone Star State of Texas. Just want to say Shalom, Ella Cool, DL Kaloon, peace to all within the all. He kept them sip y'all wounds, and congratulations on a strong 7 years to Don Nicole Leone, WGAG Radio, and the Brain Trust family. And we're going to keep doing this shit forever.
Bring them out, bring them out.
So when you got these drugs out there that, for one, have not embraced all, and have not embraced God, look at Britain as a piece of ass, and still ain't got cash, and still is lowlife, and always trying to holler. I say, find God, get your shit together, and then holler at me later, nigga.
Hey, Don, this is my baby love calling from Georgia, Georgia. And, of course, I have to give a seven-year birthday shout-out to WGAG, Real Nigga Radio, and to you, the baddest bitch in El Cologne, Don the Korean.
I'm a psychic to 93 screaming at the goddamn gas station. That's all I'm fucking attracted to, y'all.
Mic check, great day, Doug. Happy 7th anniversary to WGAG Radio. This is Tony calling in from Memphis, Tennessee. I want to wish a happy 7th birthday to WGAG Radio. Y'all put it down all the time. Real shit for real motherfuckers. So keep on keeping it real.
What's going on, Don? It's a Minty the Writer calling from New York City, wishing WGAG Radio a happy 7 years.
This is for my girl, my baby girl, Don Coleon, WGAG Radio, Real Nigga Radio. Beautiful 7 years. We gonna do seven more. This is, by the way, Cedar Amma Aset Amuna Ali L right next door over in the ham. You know what? I'm proud of you, and it's just like I know you, and I am so proud of you. You're doing beautiful. You're like a, you're magical. You get me? I should have sold that shit in there. But you are. But, girl, you got something going on. It's magic. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Keep it up. Keep going. Don't stop.
Yeah, it's your boy Jay Ella. And when I ain't here banging out these amazing beats, I'm cooling with my peeps at the Donna Coleon after party. Come through and chat it up with us anytime. Meet up with the Brain Trust. Come listen to some good music. Get caught up in some good conversation. You may even catch a building session from time to time. Learn something new. Get yourself inspired. What you gotta do, you have to go to www.powtalk.com. Search Donna Coleon the after party. And there you are. And here we go.
Now welcome back to the man of the hour.
I believe Elijah Muhammad would be very happy to know that. In fact, in his last address, he made to the community, the address that preceded the last address, he pointed to a Caucasian that was on the platform, and he said that this is a Muslim. He's a saint. He referred to the man as a saint.
Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. أشهد أن كل رسول الله. I bear witness to Allah alone and He has no partners. And I bear witness to all the apostles that come from Allah.
Being a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through his national representative Louis Farrakhan, I would just like to know the dress code of bow tie and suits. Is that in any way an abomination of Allah's will compared to the Ansaru community with white garb?
The dress code of the Nation of Islam serves its purpose in that which Minister Louis Farrakhan is trying to get across to the people if you pay attention to him. He is talking about what the white man owes you.
Right.
And how you should go about trying to get it. He's talking about the possibility of return to a place called Nubia. Listen closely. I didn't say Africa. Africa is a curse word. Akubaland is a curse word.
Break it down.
All of these are tricks by the devil. Don't fall into them tricks.
That's right.
The word Africa means to divide something. Faraka. To break us up into pieces. And that's why when you get to Mother, the home of Nubia, you find Nigerians, Ghanaians, or Ghana, Sierra Leone, Morocco, Libya, Sudan, Ethiopia. And if you talk to an Ethiopian, you say he's not what a Sudanese is. You talk to the president of Nigeria, you say he's not what an Ethiopian is. But here in this country here, they're all Christians. And they break their Christianity down into denominations. They're denominations. But they still say one nation under God. And they'll say it's not impossible to divide it, indivisible, they say. But when it comes to us, the Muslim family, we call ourselves Sunni or Shia or Bilalian or the 5% nation or the Israelite Hebrews or the Nation of Islam, we all want to be divided. The Christians, as ignorant as we consider them in their teachings, are able to live in one nation and call themselves Baptist, Pentecostal, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Catholic, of multiple denominations of Catholics exist, Romans, Greeks, the Coptics. But when it comes to Muslims, because of ego, we can't live as one nation under Allah. We can't get in a room together. The Sunnis don't even belong in this game.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You don't belong in this game because you're not saying you're black.
Right.
And if you're not black, you don't belong in this room with us.
All right now.
It's a black thing.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Tell me why white people get burned up under the sun.
Right,
if they belong under the
sun, why can't they go lay on the beach under the sun?
Overexposure to ultraviolet light causes more than 500,000 skin cancer cases each year. The number is expected to double by the year 2000.
That's right.
And you believe they came from other galaxies, or they're extraterrestrials, then why they can't get up there? Why they keep blowing up every time they try to get up there?
Right.
Now, there's three domains we know about. Right? We know about the domain we're in. Then we know about the domain of Allah. And then we know about the domain of sin. If the domain of Allah is up, because we say Samarati, we're using up. And Adunya is here, the world. And the white man taught us that hell was below, Hades. If he didn't come up, and he can't live here, where is he from?
Hell. Hell.
Then what is he?
The devil.
What's the job of a devil? To do devil.
That's right.
Very simple job, right? Devils do devilish. Is crack devilishment.
That's right. Yes, it is.
Is marijuana devilishment.
Yes, it is.
How about alcohol?
Yes, it is.
How about prostitution?
Yes, it is.
How about war? How about AIDS? How about syphilis? How about gonorrhea? How about herpes? Are these all part of devilishment? Did we have these in Mother Africa? You hear anything about ancient Egypt?
No.
When back in Egypt we had diseases?
No.
So the first thing he had to do is to divide us up and call us Africans.
That's what he did.
Put us in all kinds of vile tongues. So you go to Nigeria, they got on flags and speckles and banners and ribbons and so and so. And they said this is our national dress.
That looks like it is.
You go to Europe, they all wear suit and tie. Germans wear suit and tie. Italians wear suit and tie. French wear suit and tie. Americans wear suit and tie. They gotta tell you where they're from for you to know it.
Right.
So if you can't even aim a rock and throw it at them without asking them who they are first. But when it comes to us, we refuse to garb ourselves in the garb of righteousness.
Thank you,
we're in a country that we built. We're not respected for building it by our own people. The white man obviously knows that you built the country. And that you have the ability to build without him. That's why he won't give you jobs. Because if he ever lets you get your hand on the tools, you'll build another pyramid here. And create a ninth wonder of the world. Now if you believe he's going to give you 40 acres and a mule, and you believe that Mighty Mouse lives in the project down there. There's too many of you to get 40 acres in the mule. There's not that many acres on the planet right now. And if they're going to show you that many mules. If you think he's going to give you that weight in gold, he doesn't have it. South Africa has it. And as long as America wasn't siding with us against apartheid, she had control over South Africa. But the moment the voice was heard in the West,
free South Africa.
When black people started saying, free Nelson Mandela from the West, then of course the Europeans over there, who are 90% Caribbean and African, said, yeah, free Nelson Mandela. Japanese started saying, yeah, free Nelson Mandela. Have you heard any of the Arab countries, Sunni? Have you heard any of your so-called Sunni brothers, when Pakistan was blacker than us, they just don't know it yet. Have you heard any Saudi Arabian stand up, any king or prince or imam or sheikh from any Islamic country and say, let the people in South Africa go?
No.
Why not? If they don't care about them, what makes you think they care about you?
Right.
But along comes a man like Minister Louis Farrakhan who says, we got to do something for ourselves because there is no tomorrow when you graduate. So you get a certificate. You can buy one on 42nd Street.
That's right.
B.A. Degree. You're taught by professors who profess to know things. They put you in a college.
Right.
So then when you graduate, when you finally graduate and they throw you at the world market, come on college kids in here, tell me what you know. They have you leaving school looking for a job.
Right.
They don't have you leaving any school, which is a trick word for shul if you spell it out, it's Hebrew. They don't have you leaving creating jobs. What are you going to be? I'm going to be an executive secretary. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor, a physician, a psychologist. I want a tap dance. I want a soft shoe. I want Uncle Tom. I want to work under some more white folks. I want to remain a slave of the slave master. I want to get up every morning and towel on this metal object called a subway by the hundreds and stuff in there and squeeze and sweat. And then get out there and go in the place and push a card in and sit down and do what he says do to make him rich to keep us in slavery. Because if you're making $500 a week, boy, you're giving him $5,000. Otherwise, you have no value. By making us hate ourselves. You sisters, and I was talking to the sisters in the community yesterday about the same thing. You sisters are under the illusion that we think y'all are pretty. And no, wait, let me tell you what happened now. And what happened is, we would have, had we not been brainwashed. See, we have learned to live in a system of multiple choices. Look down at your shoes right now. Check them out. Sneakers or shoes, check them out. Trust me, I'm not going to do nothing. You trust the white man to work for him 7 days and hope he pays you on the 8th. You give him the whole week without pressing him. No choice. If you look at those shoes you have on, you brought those shoes, right? Or someone brought them for you. You may even went to a window where there was 50 pairs of shoes and said, I like those. Give me those pair right there, because they'll match my green dress. Yes? Did you decide on the shoes you wanted, or was it multiple choice?
Multiple choice.
Tell me something, some decision you have made since you've been in slavery. Please tell me once, you got a book, I guess I'm on television, don't know what to watch tonight, one of these things on one of these channels. What am I going to eat? Ain't y'all tired of chicken and lamb and rice and spaghetti and... All right? What are you going to eat tonight? One of the things you ate within the last year. Only scrambled around. Multiple choice. I'll meet you at a point. The only decision you ever made on your own was when you decided to become a Muslim. You will admit I'm a Christian because I was born one. My mother and my father was a Christian. So I'm a Christian. My mother's a Baptist. I'm a Baptist. That's how it goes. That's how it goes? So your father become a lush, so you become a lush. Your mother's abused by your father, so you should automatically marry a husband who's going to abuse you. Your mother lives in a project, so you should your greatest hope should be the project. So you start your multiple choices again now in your way of life. Well, this I want from my mother, this I don't. This I want from my dad, this I don't. The only decision you ever make in your life is when you start making decisions that are not pre-programmed in the computer of the Western world for what you'd be. You understand that? And like your sister was asking, where is the help? What is the help?
Atonement is the help. Atonement is it. You must sacrifice something. If others should ask her, what are you willing to sacrifice to get relieved of the surroundings of the devil? But see, you want the devil to leave you alone, but you don't want to give up nothing.
Right.
So which means that the thing that's attracting the devil to you is still there. If you want to get the devil off your back, then change the jacket. Yeah. If you want to get the devil out of your face, listen, if you want to get the devil out your face, stop smiling in his face. If you want to own something, go for yourself. Build. The only decision you're ever going to make on your own is when you make up your mind not to believe that Jesus, a white hippie, is God incarnate. That's the first decision. I didn't say don't believe that Jesus is not incarnate. Do I believe that Jesus is God incarnate? Yes. Just like Master Prophet Muhammad is God incarnate. And just like you are God incarnate. And you.
Bring it out.
Why do I say that? Because Jesus said, our Father, who art in heaven.
That's right.
And if he's our Father, and I'm his Son, and my Father is what I am, and I am what my Father is, when you see me, you see my Father, and when you see me, you see God. Let me correct this one more time. I didn't say a law.
So,
you know, I don't want you small-minded Sunni Muslim to twist this around. Y'all have a way of taking me and Minister Louis Farrakhan's words and twist them around.
That's right.
See, Minister Louis Farrakhan is the best speaker we got today.
Right.
You understand? We both serve a purpose. We came in a pair. But every time somebody came as a single, you didn't listen. We came as a pair this time. You follow that? Follow me, Elijah. I'm the writer, and he's the speaker.
That's right.
I heard Minister Louis Farrakhan say, there's nobody out here that can speak like me. And I watched his tape and I said, he's right. He's a better speaker than I am, my father. My father. But then I said, but there's nobody out here who writes like I do. So, me and Minister Louis Farrakhan have got to come to the reality that we need each other. You follow that? And I've made those steps forward. I know he has too, because I'm listening to his tape and I hear him using doctrine.
No Muslim that believes that Prophet Muhammad will be seen in the judgment. They don't teach that they will see Prophet Muhammad in the judgment. They teach that they will see Jesus. And the sign of the judgment and the resurrection will be the return of Imam Esau, Jesus, along with the Mahdi.
It made me blush. Because I've said too many times, okay, I recognize that you believe that Master Prophet Muhammad is a law in the personage. So the law came in the personage. That he breathed of his spirit into you and you became a living soul. Because you did say he came, because if he came, he was somewhere. The Allah, as we know him, is always here.
Yeah.
And if he's here, he can't be there. But he can be here and there. So he can't be over there and not here, and he can't be over here and not there at any one time. But he can be here. Because when I see you, like Jesus said, I see God. If you do the words of God. I'm using God so I don't insult nobody, you understand? Black people get insulted so easily. You talk about their white God, they ready to hit you. But let the white man down Honorable Elijah Muhammad or Sheikh Daoud or Noble Drew Ali or Clarence 13X or Malcolm X, and they love that. Let the white man say Elijah Muhammad had a bunch of secretaries he had sex with. Oh, and President Kennedy had wings up. President Kennedy and his brother and his brother and his other brother was all hooked up with the same woman, Marilyn Monroe. They just passed it down. All y'all know about us is Cleopatra and Nefertiti. How many husbands has Elizabeth Taylor had?
10,000.
But you talk about the honor of Elijah Muhammad having more than one wife. He didn't know it. He just assumed it.
That's right.
All conjecture.
Yeah.
All hearsay. He got it from an angry son.
Yeah.
Sons get angry at their fathers all the time. Get mad.
One thought, I hate him. How many times when you was a kid, you said, I'm gonna grow up, I'm gonna beat him up. Wait till I get big enough, I'm gonna knock him out. Now my mother in the kitchen. When you got big enough, he said, come on. Wait till I get big. The next thing was, I'm getting out of this place. We see your people, we see what you breed, and we don't want it anymore. We don't want to put what you're putting on television into our children anymore. So either give us some land of our own or let us go home. That's what Minister Farrakhan is talking about right now. And I can't say nothing about that. It's wrong. Give us some land of our own or let us go home. And do for us when we go home the same thing you do for Israel. Support us. Build our defense. Do the exact same. Don't just throw us out in no desert and leave us there and make a joke out of it. We ain't that stupid. Don't you realize the reason why black people love you so much? Because they're smart enough not to leave you until they can stand on their own. They look like Toms. The brothers and sisters you don't like out there, you say, that nigga was a Tom. Look at him. He's towering up on the white people. He's just a little smarter than you. You just don't see it that way. I'm standing real close to white because white got it all. White people steak and y'all are eating at McDonald's and white cattle. Yes, white produces the clothes, we buy it. White produces the music, we listen to it. He produces the television programs, we watch it. He subliminally brainwashes us to be what he wants us to be. So, when I see a black woman, I don't see beauty. I gotta see a white woman to see beauty. You know how you know? A good brother, he means well, Eddie Murphy. He does a whole lecture, because that's what comedy is, a lecture. And he prefers, in his lecture in Princeton, Oprah, he puts second, and he puts Brooke Shields first. He said, well, between Oprah and Brooke Shields, I'm sorry, Oprah. He thought he said something slick. Because he didn't put Oprah against Raphael. You know what that is, eh? Another show host, Sally. Going on fake face, look like Michael Jackson's face. He didn't put them together. He took one of the white women, the white man's best looking white woman, and compared her to Oprah. She's all right. I mean, she ain't no Iman, but in the family of looks, she gets about a four. But when he compared the two, notice that he compared a what they consider a glamorous white woman to a regular sister. Now, if you would have said, well, between Iman and Brooke Shields, Iman. Anyway it goes, they have brainwashed you and me, and you know it's true, brothers. We don't know what beauty is no more.
That's right.
Don't tell me beauty's in the eye of the beholder. He said that too. You don't know what beauty is, because we don't see black women as pretty no more. That's why they gotta, like the brother said, oh, they gotta perm their hair and pluck their eyebrows and redraw them in and slant their face and sharpen their nose and paint their lips, try to make them thinner. You have forced the woman to do that, then you stand back and talk about it. You forced her to do it because when she walks by, you don't look. When she walks by, you don't open the door. You're not courteous, you're not kind, you're not respecting the black woman. But an old white woman walk by, niggas be jumping out the way. Not only in the South, right here. I live here, South and the Caribbean. I see you Tom all over the world. For white women, smiling in their face. We gotta re-educate that little boy there to what beauty is. You understand? If you don't know, look in the mirror. If you need a tape measure for your nose, carry one. But when you start looking in the mirror, man, and you look at your lips and your nose, and you start seeing these big lips and these big nose, and then look at a woman with a skinny nose and thin lips and say, that's pretty, what do you say about yourself? Right. Like the comedian said this, three out of every three people, right? Out of every three people, two of them ugly, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you look on your right and left, and both of them are not ugly, guess what? But the sad part about it, who decided what was ugly? us or the white man?
White, white,
white. Why? Because he is Metro Golden Mayor. Isn't that a coincidence that the first ambassador of the state of Israel, her name was? What a coincidence, Alex.
May I see your testimony?
And she's responsible for Sambo and Angie Mama and Uncle Ben and Bojangles and Rochester. She's also responsible for Superman and Batman and Clark Gable. And what's the other one, the homo? Marshmallow Hudson. And I was getting rocky about it. But they established what was pretty. And they established what was ugly. A black man had to bug his eyes, right? Do a lot of dancing and moving and grin. And this was bred into us. Wake up. Now we're at a point in time where there is no tomorrow. This is what the minister is trying to say. Now, if you Sunni Muslims are too stupid to see that, there's something seriously wrong with y'all. Forget the difference in our doctrine and see what the man is trying to say, and if it makes sense. Because you were so busy badgering the honorable Elijah Muhammad about Master Farah Muhammad, about who the devil is, that you wasn't listening to what he was saying, and you sure didn't see what he did. Because you was here before the man. Before Elijah came, you were here. And you couldn't turn the hearts of the fathers toward their sons.
That's right.
That's right.
Sunni Muslims were already in America before he came.
That's right.
And before Master Farah Muhammad came to him. They were already here. Mm. Please show me one of your mosques that you built. Not no white Arab came over here and built for you. Show me one mosque that Orthodox Sunni Islam, dark-skinned people, you have built.
None.
Show me a salam
none
restaurant.
None.
Show me a newspaper.
None.
A series of books.
None.
A button.
None.
Show me something to let us know that you here. Because what they did is they concentrated on you not being here.
That's right.
That's the pact the Arabs got with America. Don't turn our niggas into Muslims. Why don't they want you to become Muslim? Because being Muslim will be the first decision you ever make. And if you make that decision on your own, decision making is going to start being fun. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. That's going to be the first one. Then you're going to go to the prophets. You know why? Because you already read the Bible. Arabs don't read the Bible. It's tampered with as far as they're concerned. They've got their own Quran, their own everything now. But you've read the Bible. So when they say prophet, you think, oh, Jesus, of course. Tell me about Jesus. They can't. You don't believe me? Next week, don't come here. Go visit Sunni Muslim mosques and ask them questions about Jesus. Say, excuse me, was Jesus crucified, yes or no? They'll say, no. The Quran says that Jesus was not crucified, nor did he hang on a cross. He was not killed, no, but it's only made to look that way. Well, okay, gotcha. Now explain the story to me. I got that, and I got the Bible here. Now, you're going to have to tell me that this whole Bible is tampered with to justify this one verse. You can't see, you see the trick? The whole book got to be tampered with for this one verse. Except for when you want to prove that the comfort is Muhammad. Then all of a sudden, there's verses in the Bible that are not tampered with.
Right.
Except for when you want to prove that there's certain verses in there that prove that Abraham and Ishmael, Dr. Jamal Badri said.
When one reads the book of Genesis, when it says that God ordained Abraham to take his only son, Isaac. Isaac was never the only son. The one who was the only...
All of a sudden, the Bible ain't tampered with. I don't know. I heard that before. Somewhere, the Quran says that there are people like to pick and choose from our revelation what suits them. When you say, well, walk with me through the scriptures. Walk, one, two, let's go. They cannot do it. Talk to them. Ask them, is Muhammad white or black? You know what they'll say to you? No, they'll say that's not important. That's not important whether he's white or black. Say, well, if it was not written in any hadith that he was white, then it wouldn't be important. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you didn't affix right rights to the Quran and explain them and say Muhammad was white, then it wouldn't be important. Because everybody would know he's black, because you can't produce nothing from white. So the original man has to be black. That's a fact. But because you Sunnis got hadith saying Muhammad is white, literally, Bukhari, Tirmidhi, you got these books that you wrote with your own, written with your own hand. Ooh, that sounds familiar. Oh yeah, there's a place in the Quran that says that men, they write books with their own hand for a price. So you ask, did the Prophet Muhammad write the Quran? Some scholars say yes. Some scholars say no. Some scholars say we don't know. But they'll say, yeah, Jesus never wrote a book with his own hand. They're right. That's right. And the Quran confirms that Jesus never wrote a book with his own hand. For the Quran says what? What we gave to Jesus. Who gave it to Jesus? John gave it to Jesus. Because it says in the book of Revelation, this is the revelation which what? Allah gave unto to Jesus to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent it and he signified it by his servant John.
That's what he says, brother.
So don't say, did Jesus write a scripture with his own hand? Because the Quran also confirms that Jesus was the word of Allah. Right. Called him, Khalid, the word. But you took and called Moses the word. The Quran says Jesus is the word. But you ask the Muslim, what is Moses' secret name? They say, Kalim Allah. Show me that in the Quran, say. See, this is the Ansar Creed. If I don't leave anything here, I want to leave with you the word, show me that.
Right.
That's what makes an Ansar, you know. That should make us different than every other group of Muslims out here. We're like, show me, man. Got the Bible in my hand. Get the Bible in my hand. Christians say, well, they, Jesus says it. Show me. I want to see where it says Jesus so-and-so. Well, it's in there somewhere. Well, the other thing's in here somewhere. We're not talking about anything. Show me what you're talking about. If you didn't have enough faith to study the exact verse and a chapter, why should I even bother listening to you? Oh, wait, that sounds familiar. It's a place in the Quran that says there's people that are like mules that carry books on their back. Why they use a mule? Because you can't get any dumb on stuff. So when you go to a Sunni Muslim and you say, well, I have visited the Ansar. Astaghfirullah. Those brothers are not Muslims. That man says that he is Allah. See? That's called altering words. Some of those who are Jews altered words from their places. I said, all of you are Allah. You are the original man, the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the creator of the planet Earth, the father of civilization, and God of the universe. When you were spirit, you were supreme. When you were seed, you were supreme. And now you are supreme. They call the Prophet Muhammad in the Quran, Khuluq al-Azim. They say, created supreme in the Surah of the Ten. But they will take and say, created great. Then what's the name al-Aziz mean? Mighty. Then what's the name al-Mustaqib? Big. They keep jumping from great. Then why do you say Allahu Akbar means Allah is the greatest? Show me the answer, please. Because we live by the word of Allah. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord.
Right.
What it says.
So when someone starts rattling on with their mouth, say, show me it in the words of the Lord. Wait a second. When I got this hadith that says, oh, don't let me get away. Oh, so the hadith is from Allah? Mm-hmm. Well, no, the hadith is a collection of men. No. Did this come down that night, laid out for Qadri? No. Then I don't want to hear it. Right. I'm not in a day and time to listen to it. I'm sorry, y'all Arabs just got rich. We're still poor. We don't have the time to be messing around. The whole world is succeeding except us, and we were the first ones here. So we must have been robbed. Somebody must have taken it. But we don't have anything. What do we sell?
Nothing.
What don't we buy?
Everything.
Anything he brings in, we buy.
Right.
But we sell nothing. Where is our tomorrow? The only tomorrow we have is if we make it.
Mastery, an exclusive formula enriched with nature's secret substance to enhance and beautify your whole appearance. Mastery shampoo, conditioner, lotion, and soap contains the exotic scent of the ancient musk deer that dwells freely in the mountainous regions of the Himalayas. Our exclusive scent of musk has been traditionally called mist. It is commonly known amongst the lineage of the prophets that the scents of rose, myrrh, frankincense, and musk stimulate good moods, good character, and generates a pleasant environment. Mahdi luxurious mist scent keeps the body at the peak of performance. Rest assured that Mahdi ingredients pamper the body to give it that smoother, natural look that only your body deserves. You owe it to yourself to look good with Mahdi products. So be good to your body, and your body will look good to you. Available in your neighborhood at your nearest Tencent Kedar.
Don't let the man trick you. See, we started red, black, and green. Way back in Marcus Garvey's time. Huh? They didn't tell you that that same red, black, and green that Marcus Garvey used here, he got from a Sudanese called Dost Muhammad Ali. They don't tell you that. It's history. It's in the books. And he was a Sudanese who he met in Egypt. You know about that. Now, if he's a Sudanese, and back then, the flag of the Sudan was the Mahdi flag. This flag right here. This flag right here was the flag of the Mahdi. You see that? You think that this is a coincidence? That this flag happens to have the same colors that Marcus Garvey happened to get from a man he happened to meet from the Sudan who happened to be in Egypt at the time? Does it seem like it? No. But see, the devil gets in again. He moved the black and put it where the red is. The Mahdi, that man over there, alayhi salam, he purposely put the black on top. Because the black represented us. The red represents blood. You understand? Red, black, and green means you plan to bleed again. Mahdi said, no. I'm coming in the name of Allah. And we will not bleed again. And the British came out against him. The Turks came out against him. The Egyptians, a little band of men, a small group of desert people, no weapons, but faith that has the power to move mountains is all they had. And they stood behind the Mahdi, alayhi salam. And they rose that flag. And they conquered. So here we again, we rose the flag, and now all of a sudden things are happening in America. So they're easing the Jamaican flag. They're easing the red, black, and green flag. They start easing the Ethiopian flag. A trick again.
That's right.
But the white man don't care nothing about you.
That's right.
He'll take your life and drink a cup of coffee on it. Right. You don't believe me? Ask the Japanese. Ask the Vietnamese. He'll wipe you out without acts of Panamanians. He only told you about a portion of the death that took over there, took place. He didn't tell you that was an all-black neighborhood that they bombed. He'd have a whole lot of stuff out of that dialogue. Which is true. They know what they're doing. You think AIDS is an accident, sister? AIDS is a form of germ warfare.
This disease will kill more people this year than all other viral diseases combined. According to Dr. Robert Strecker, AIDS is a man-made, genetically engineered virus that was either accidentally or deliberately introduced into the world's population.
Nobody dies of AIDS. They die from their immune system breaking down, and whatever disease is there attacks them and kills them.
That's right.
So tell me how many cures they're going to need. How many cures? Because if each one of y'all catch AIDS, you're going to die for a different reason. So your cure is different than your cure and your cure. And the white man ain't going to spend that money trying to do that. He's doing another thing. He's spending the money trying to get out of here and leave you with the disease. You think he's shooting up his space shuttles for? He wants to go up there and live. And he did all, he destroyed the planet. He destroyed the ozone. You make any spray cans? What other soul cans you ever made? Spray what? Spray hair sheen or afro sheen and spray can by black people? Where? You ain't created a thing here. We're not responsible for the diseases. But he will leave you here to die. And your preacher don't know that. Because he's so busy saying Jesus is going to come and save us. Jesus, we waited 379 years for this spook God. Where was he in Georgia when them crackers blew up that church with them little kids in?
Yeah.
Where is he? If he's there to help, where is he? Where is the spook God y'all been waiting for? We've been waiting with you. Every now and then. Every now and then, you know what y'all do? Y'all lie and fool the world and say, there's a cross out from Greece in the sky. There's a big cross. That means Christ is coming. You remember that?
Yeah.
And all the Christians are marching out the Queens and looking. Oh my God, Christ is going to come. And that's all them Muslims. Yeah. Told everybody. It's all over. Salvation is coming. And they find out the little kid is flying Christ. And they say, uh-oh, we done found the actual shroud of Christ. The actual burial cloth. And he left his spiritual impression on it. He left his impression on the cloth he went through. But he had to move a rock to get out the gate. That's beside the point. You found a shroud. And this shroud means, yes, Christ did die on the cross our sins, thus he is coming back. I don't see the equation between the two. But because he died on the cross our sins, and he left his impression, here he is. They went and made a picture of him. He had long blonde hair. They x-rayed it. They hologrammed it. And they said, this is Christ. Then somebody found out that someone made it in the 14th century. Some artist made the shroud. All the people went, ah. How many more? There was a statue in Rio de Janeiro of all places you've been there. They cried.
Okay.
All the Christians ran over there, paid their tickets and flew over there to see Mary cry. If Mary's coming back for salvation, I never hear anything about Mary coming back, by the way. Okay, I'm sorry. If Mary's coming back for your salvation, Mary now, will you please tell me if salvation is a joyful thing, and the book of Revelation says there'll be no more crying, why is the statue crying? Shouldn't there be a statue of Mary laughing? Celebrating the return of Christ because it's all over? Then they find out there was condensation. A crack in the statue had allowed it to seep down out of a little hole and out came a tear. Christian went, Now, but meanwhile, a little man, not bigger than this here, Mama Elijah Mama would say, stop believing in this spook God, he ain't coming. You've been waiting for him for too long. He ain't been giving you no sign. And why is he letting people deceive you like that? Why would God let people trick you into thinking he's coming to fill your hopes up? You're going to run all over the world and go, let's do it again. And he ain't never come. But here, in this text, a proclamation is made. I don't think this English translation that she told me off. I'll try my best. A proclamation is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet Muhammad through the angel Gabriel. And it's the last revelation ever revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. The very last thing said to Prophet Muhammad of 1400 years ago. I'm not talking about the apostle or the messenger Elijah Muhammad, who's after him. And people say, what? Did that man just say what I think he said? Did he just say that Elijah Muhammad was a messenger? The Quran says so. Holy Quran, 33rd chapter, verse 40, says, then Muhammad is the seal of the prophets. He is merely an apostle, and the seal of the prophets. Doesn't say he's the seal of the apostles. But they'll stretch that into he's the seal of both. And kill you like they did with Shah Khalifa if you say other than that.
Right.
Yeah, right. Come on with it. See, Allah raised up a different kind of nigga now. I heard the messenger said once, me and Anwar Elijah Muhammad, don't be scared. Mr. Louis Farrakhan said the white man had a gun to Anwar Elijah Muhammad's head once and said, nigga, I should blow your brains out.
Right.
He told him, you can't do it. Only if Allah wills it, will it happen. White man put his gun in his pocket. That's faith, right? You got that kind of faith? You think you can stand that? Jesus didn't have it. Because when Jesus got ready to get crucified, he said, oh my father, it would be possible. Let this cup pass by me. Ain't that what he said? He told me that, oh God, my spirit is willing, but the body is weak. But you Christians keep telling him it ain't about his body. It's all about his spirit. But Jesus identified with the both of them. He said, spiritually, I'm down. You know I'm with you spiritually, you know, walking to the valley of the shadow of death and all that stuff. I'm with you. But he's nailed. You know what I'm saying? is there another approach toward this thing? We do it another way? Ain't that what happened? They just doctored it up another way. But he really said, I ain't ready for this. Jesus said, I'm not ready. Now there's a man who brought back the dead. But he's not ready to die. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus became like they said. Here's what Jesus says to them. Who do people say the Son of Man is? They say, the prophet, Elijah? No. Another thing, let me tell you. This is another trick the Arabs are playing on y'all. There's three different names for Elijah in the Quran, spelled three different ways. They spell it two different ways in the same chapter. And then they say, well, that one is Elijah and the one is Elias. Then who's third? Who's that third? Could that have been the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Could it have been? Let's think about it. The Arabic, you can't dispute. Because it's there three different ways. Name another prophet in the Quran whose name is spelled three different ways. And why? And then name another prophet who's predicted to come as clear and as sight as it says about Elijah in the books of Malachi.
Come on, with
and even in the books way back in the Bible, he said, if you see me, you're going to get a double portion of it.
That's what he said.
And what did that Elijah back there do? He did the things that Christ did. He raised the dead. Were you not mentally dead?
Yes.
Did you know who you were before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught?
No.
Like I said, Sunnis had already been here and taught nothing we could see or understand. And Clarence Thurston Nix got his teaching from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes or no?
Yes.
Malcolm X was a serious speaker until he went on the law. Serious speaker, where did he get his source from?
Elijah Muhammad.
I remember clearly when Waqif Muhammad in 1975 became the leader of the Nation of Islam.
Yes.
Proclaimed himself the president.
That's right.
We are one body. But God has manifested that we, under the leadership of Muhammad Elijah Muhammad, are the divine body that God wants the world to see today.
I said, oh man, his father's son is right. His father's son is right. He made too many trips to Saudi Arabia like Malcolm did. And slowly but surely came back going.
Where in the Quran did you find a hint that it would be possible for white persons to join the Nation of Islam in this country? Because in 1960, as I recall, it was open exclusively to blacks, to whites.
The language of the Quran concerning the family of man is very much like the language of the Bible. It's not a hint, it's just plain language. It's says that God made you from Adam, your father Adam. And the Quran says also that man is one human, one family.
Shock. The devil can be reformed. Let him in the mouth. Wait a minute. What does the lesson say? Can the devil be reformed?
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد
Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.